Welcome to Cat Chat, the pet talk podcast devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of cats and their people. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. This show is brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, where they speak for cats, which is what this program is all about. My co-host is the feline expert, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. The show is made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, a company privately owned by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose mission has been to personally formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie also created his own cat food called Clean Protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs because they're based on the protein a cat eats naturally. Clean Protein is the first dry cat food I personally can recommend because it is based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Please show your appreciation that Dr. Elsie's underwrites this show by choosing their products whenever you can. It is so great to have the brilliant Rachel Geller back on the show. She has her very own nonprofit, Cat Behavior Help. All cats, all the time. And by the way, she doesn't charge you a nickel. If you wanted to support her work, great, but she really does it because it matters to her. She does this work for many different rescues and shelters. Cat adoption can be a kind of sticky wicket. It can be rocky in the beginning, whether it's the cat and another cat, the cat and your kids, the cat and you. Rachel does such an amazing job with people, holding their hand and giving them concrete advice and suggestions, sometimes over a long period of time. Rachel, you told me about a story that has such a happy ending, but boy, it was difficult in the beginning. And I think we should talk about it because I think it's a really important example to people of how to handle introducing two cats to each other differently than how you think. And then if it doesn't go well, how you can undo the damage, but how patient you need to be, right?
Exactly. I mean, the beautiful thing with cats is you really can walk it back, do a complete reintroduction, and create new positive associations between those two cats. But yes, it needs to be done slowly. It needs to be done in a very structured manner. And most importantly, of everything, it needs to be done at the cat's pace. So in these matters, it's always best to go at the cat's pace. But as you said, in this particular situation, the cat owner came to me. She had adopted a newcomer to keep her resident cat company. You know, she thought her resident cat might be lonely, would like a new brother.
Right.
As it turned out,
the
resident cat didn't really want a new brother all that much. So, you know, there was fur flying, there were physical fights, and she reached out to me saying, you know, what do I do? I want this to work. And we began the process of a complete reintroduction. We brought it all the way down to ground zero. We acted as if the cats had never seen each other before, and we went forward from there.
So let's talk about the structure that you say is so important, and I agree, is so important, in the steps you take, one baby step at a time, to get two cats to feel comfortable about even the idea of each other, meaning the smell, the sight. All their senses have to be engaged, and it's overwhelming to them if you just open a carrier and say, hi, guys, be best friends. So what is step one?
So what I did was I had her separate the cats once again, and I explained that the newcomer needs to go back into the, you know, her own room, and I call it a sanctuary room or a safe room. But we want the newcomer to sort of regain his sense of security again and not feel like he's being plopped into enemy territory.
Right.
And we want the resident cat to feel once again that it's her territory, and her territory isn't just up for grabs for any old cat who wanders
right.
in, because that's super stressful for a cat. So we walked it all the way back, and when the resident cat, I always say, go at the cat's pace. So make sure the cats are calm before you add in another element, as you mentioned, structure. So when the resident cat was acting calm and when the newcomer was also calmed down, then we started in with scent because smell is just so important to cats.
Yes.
And I have my method of introducing scent is through using socks. So, you know, you rub the newcomer with the sock around the chin and get all those scent deposits. And we want to place it in an area where the resident cat hangs out, but, like, not in the resident cat's face, like, not right in her favorite napping bed or spot, but just in an area where she tends to hang out. And the same the other way around. And, you know, every client says to me, well, why am I doing that? They've already smelled each other. They already know each other. But when you use this method with the sock, the smells are not being forced onto the cat. The cat makes
goes
the decision,
to the smell. Yeah.
Yeah. The cat makes the decision on when and how often she wants to investigate. So we're giving that cat back her sense of control, which is very, very important. Oftentimes with cats, the best thing to do is to set things up so the cat thinks it's all her idea. And this works great on my husband, too, by
that's
the way.
Great. That's adorable. So one of the things I have in the Cat Bible, I refer to them as tube socks, because sometimes people think socks, well, why can't I just use, I don't know, a washcloth? And the reason that works really well is if you have any athletic socks, you just put your hand in it, even all the way up to your elbow or mid-forearm, and then you can rub it all over the cat's cheeks and face and back, belly, anywhere. And then just leave the sock. It just makes it easier because you can put your hand inside a sock and get lots of scent deposits doing it that way.
Yes, it does make it easier. And also, most cats do like that soft texture. So to your point, you know, use a towel. It could be a little rough. Socks are something that are universally soft. And often they have, even if they're washed, you know, they do have a little bit of your scent
good
on
point.
Them as well, which isn't always a bad thing.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so now they've each got the sock of each other in kind of prominently in their living zone, and they've sniffed it at their own desired pace. Now what?
So I go through a series of steps where, as you said, they're really structured, and we don't move on to anything else until the current stage is going okay. So then I'll have them do a little bit of a soil swap with the litter. And just a little bit, you know, you don't want to take a whole poop and put it into the other cat's box, but just a tad of the litter, let them get used to that. Then I'll progress to eating on either side of the door, but the door closed.
Right.
Then we can progress to having the door open just a crack and letting them eat on either side of the crack door. And I always say to people, they don't have to be right on either side of the door. You know, clients will say to me, well, my resident cat isn't going to go right up to the door. I mean, some will, but some won't. And I'll say, that's okay. We can meet the cat where she's at. We can start off, find that place where, you know, she will eat. Maybe it's at the top of the staircase. Maybe it's down the hall. Wherever that is, that's okay. That's our starting point. And then we can inch forward from there. So, you know, we try to get the cats closer together. We try to open the door a little bit wider. You know, food is very motivating for a cat. So the idea is we want each cat to say, you know, I've been noticing whenever that other cat is around, I seem to get the most delicious treats. Perhaps that cat isn't so
that's
bad
great.
After all.
Yeah, so try and use your very best canned food during this period. Forget kibble in general, because everyone knows how I feel about kitty crack. But get the very best Waruva. Get like paw licking chicken, something that no cat can deny the greatness of.
So, absolutely.
So
yes.
It is.
Super
it's like,
duper yummy
yeah,
treat.
It's like
yes,
a birthday dinner kind of thing.
Yes.
At this point, do you talk at all about a baby gate, or is that too much? Is the crack door better than a baby gate?
I do talk about a baby gate eventually. You know, when you're doing a reintroduction, because I do want to go so slowly, I'll do the crack door, you know, stay on that for a little bit. And I'll talk to the client, too, but always making sure you end on a positive note. So the thing with the door is we can control the door.
That's a good point.
So I say to them, even if you have the slightest idea that there's going to be a stare down or there's going to be approach, just gently close the door. Act like it's no big deal.
Right.
Gently close the door and wait for the next session to start again. So that gets everything always ending well. And when that's going okay, then we can move on to using a baby gate or, you know, two gates stacked on top
right.
of each other if the cats are super jumpers. And sometimes, depending on the client, and I may have even done this with the woman who we're talking about, I'll do an interim step where we go to the baby gate, but we use a blanket. And
oh,
we slowly move the blanket, you know, from one, exposing more of the gate. So all kinds of little incremental steps based on what we'll see, what I'm seeing in the cats, based on their acceptance of each other, not how quickly I want this to be solved.
Right, which you wish, you know, most owners wish it could be done yesterday. So let's make clear that you don't go to people's houses. This is all done by telephone or Zoom. So when you say, I want to see it, you're getting feedback from the owner who is trying this for a number of days or even weeks until there's
yes.
no reaction, right?
Yes, this woman lived nowhere near me, but she sent me videos. We
right.
had, you know, Zoom conferences. We had FaceTimes. And, you know, I could see everything just fine, what was going on, and was able to offer, you know, step-by-step guidance. I do have a cat-to-cat reintroduction video.
Oh,
that
nice.
And that's great. But, you know, sometimes I need to individualize it. And
of
that's
course.
What happened in this case. Yes.
So at what point, how many weeks had gone by before the next step?
Well, the whole process took about 9 months.
Oh, my goodness.
So this woman was very patient. And I will say, you know, part of what I do is I really like to be understanding and empathetic. So often I would check in with her and I would say, I'm in no judgment zone. I don't want to feel like I'm pressuring you. I just want to make sure this is okay, you know, that we keep on going. I said, I feel this will be okay. It's just going to take time and patience, but I want to make sure you're okay.
Right.
And I think, you know, letting them know that I've seen this happen before, it can take a long time. I'm seeing progress. We're on the right track, but I'm just doing a check-in. Because I don't want anyone to feel pressured or feel guilty. You know,
right.
At
on the
end
one
of the
hand,
day,
you want to slow them down, but
right.
you also don't want them to feel there's a pressure for them to speed it up or be successful.
Exactly. So I checked in. I would say, you know, the part that we worked on with the door and slowly opening the door, you know, that might have been a couple of months.
Wow.
And then, you know, we probably spent another couple of months on the gate with the blanket and just
wow.
the gate. And then we eventually got to what I call gradual togetherness, which is, you know, we're not going, when we're seeing success, again, we just don't want to put the cats together. We want to work our way up. So we started with 5 minutes together. When that was okay, we went to 10 minutes together. When that was okay, we went to 20 minutes together. So we really did a very slow build up and desensitization with the cats being together. And we didn't add more time until we saw them tolerating the current time.
Because
and of course,
is there reason
we're using
because
treats and play.
Is there reason because they can be comfortable until suddenly they feel overwhelmed in the situation that for 8 minutes was okay and now in the ninth minute they're like kind of not so sure anymore? Is that what happens?
I think in general with cats, you just never want to go from 0 to 60.
Right.
They don't like change. They like predictability and they like routine. So by adding that element of predictability and routine into the process, I think it helps them accept the other cat or any other new thing you're trying to expose the cat to.
Right.
So I do think they can get some cats, you know, not every cat, but some cats can get overwhelmed by too much too soon. So always best to err on the side of caution, right? If we start out with 5 minutes, and nothing bad happens, and we see, oh, I probably could have done a little more, no big deal. But if we start out with a half an hour and there's fur flying, then we need to sort of walk it back again because now we've really created
to zero.
A negative.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when the
yes.
5 minutes is up and you've actually timed it, do you pick up the resident cat, remove the resident cat from the sanctuary room, and close the door? Or do you leave a baby gate up?
So by that point, you know, we've gone on to the baby gate. So usually what I'll have, I usually recommend, you know, having these meetings like in a neutral zone.
Oh, I
so
see. Okay.
Not in the sanctuary room, like in a room that's not sort of designated as this is my space and
right.
this is your space.
Right.
So I will say, you know, lead the newcomer back into the room with food or a, you know, a fishing pole type toy, or, you know, if you have a cat who doesn't mind being picked up, then you could just pick up the cat and plop him back in there. So
right.
depending on your cat. But yes, best to sort of then bring the cat back in the room, and, you know, if all goes well, then the next time you can add more time to the process. And okay. I do find that by presenting things gradually, it does decrease that fear and anxiety and stress.
At what point can you say, okay, I don't have to look at my clock anymore? You guys just be comfortable. I got a big enough space. You can both live here. When do you do that?
Right, when there's no chasing, when there's no hissing, when there's
right.
no posturing, intimidation,
right.
stare downs. You know, one thing that happens when I go through this with clients is they get very good, because we're always talking about it, at reading cat body language. So they usually know at this point, you know, when something is simmering. So if they see the cat in a stare down, I'll say, you know, maybe try breaking it up with a piece of cardboard in between. But you can always err on the caution to stop the session. But after a while, you do sort of get a feel for it. You know, the cats are tolerating each other. They're not chasing each other. They're not, you know, hiding from each other. And one thing I do say to clients is, let's just work on getting to tolerance. You know, they
right,
may not
right.
gleefully embrace each
yes.
other, but let's get them to tolerance, and we'll worry about the rest later.
Well, I think that the punchline to the story is so deeply touching, because here's this woman who thought her resident cat needed a pal. Turned out, pal not wanted, not needed. Well, she'd made the commitment. She wasn't going to ditch the new cat and send it back to the shelter. She was going to follow your advice and put a lot of time and energy into this. And she must have thought, if I were her, I would have thought, or I was she, or whatever the right way is saying it, wow, all this and all I got was some tolerance? Yike, I would feel so like a loser myself. But in fact, just to finish up, tell us how they wound up. Tell us how these two cats are in each other's arms. It's pretty cool.
It's just lovely to see. She sent me pictures of the two cats snuggling with each other on the bed and lying together in cat beds, and it really is just so nice. And to your point, you know, we spent a lot of time emailing. It's funny, when I was going to do this interview with you, I looked up the email chain, and, you know, when it came up on my Gmail, it said, one email of many
That's
pages.
That's hilarious. Too many to count.
So, yes. Yes, yes. So it really was a long process. I was happy to be with her every step of the way. As you said, some people just need reassurance and hand-holding, but I couldn't be any happier that it worked out. In fact, if I knew how to do a cartwheel, I would have done one when she sent me that email.
That's adorable.
How nice things had worked out. You know, she gave a cat who needed a home.
That's right.
A lovely home, and that's the best.
And she gave a best friend to someone who didn't think they liked other cats. So there
exactly.
you go. I
yes.
mean,
it's
she changed worlds. I want to say, Rachel, that all cats all the time is an extraordinary offering you've given to the cat lovers of the world. And anybody who has issues or has problems, go to All Cats All the Time and see what resources Rachel has there. And if what she's got there doesn't help you personally, don't be shy. Ask for help. And if you can afford to support her nonprofit, which is what it is, that'd be great, because it just allows her to have more time and more energy, and also buy things for people. Sometimes you've actually purchased items for people for their cats that they needed. Rachel, thank
yes.
you for all you're doing, and congratulations. I'm doing a virtual cartwheel with you over your great success in this case.
I love it. Thank you for your time today. It was great.
Thanks so much for listening. I also want to thank Wonderside, founded by a woman entrepreneur who discovered effective natural ways to repel fleas, ticks, and other pests on her pets and around her home instead of putting toxic chemicals in or on them. Wonderside makes plant-powered products to keep parasites at bay without the harsh chemicals that can be harmful to your cats, your property, and the planet. This show is also supported by the privately developed Magic Fabric pet throws that trap hair, dirt, and moisture when cats get up on the furniture, bed, or your lap. Magic Fabric pet throws invite kitty cuddle time without sacrificing your clothes or furniture. A final pause up to Dr. Elsie's again for all the fine products they make and their unwavering support of my mission to make life better for each and every kitty cat and their people.